Good morning, everybody. I was just listening to the Bible study here, and just hearing Grace share here. Just reminded again that things haven't changed over history. As time has moved on, there's been individuals that were born. They came to a place in life where they needed something else besides what was within themselves. They reached out to God. And that's why we're here this morning, because we have through life's experiences found out that if we reach out to Him, He's there. So this morning, let's just be blessed with that thought. And as we just go through this morning, let's reach out to Him, because He is a loving Father. Sometimes situation, circumstance in life, it's hard to see that, but He is a loving Father. Just for this morning, for a scripture text, I thought we would look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 through 13. The scripture just stood out to me a while back, and I just like to take a look at it. And New Living Translation, it says, "Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." And then here it just simply reads, "And because of lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Just a little bit of background here of Jesus had been speaking a couple things of the end time. Before that, just imagine the disciples as they had been going through life, and how they had, Jesus had come, had asked them to follow Him, how they had decided they're going to forsake everything, follow Him. They had laid down their occupation, and they were going to follow this man. Whatever he says, they were going to do. And they'd observed him. They'd observed him going about doing good. They had observed him having conflict with the Pharisees, maybe healing somebody on the Sabbath, and how he was challenged with this. And then just before Jesus had said this, in 23 here, it seems Jesus seemed to... says seven woes to the scribes and Pharisees. He just really spoke to them and said that they do these things, but they're missing the heart of God. And seems that Jesus was, he was moved as he looked at them, and he just realized that these people, they're missing. They're missing completely what the gospel is. They're missing completely what His plan is. And He comes to the end of the chapter there in 23. He looks over the city of Jerusalem. He just simply says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather you together, but you just refused." Then it says that they then went out of the temple, and the disciples, I think this was a very emotional time, the disciples in Jesus' life, as He rebuked the scribes and Pharisees. And many times, even in our own lives, when there's times of stress or conflict, we sometimes say things that really don't make sense. I think this was probably a situation like this. After this, they were walking out, and then the disciples just simply said to Jesus, "You see these great stones?" I think they were trying to find something in their culture, something in their society that's going to stay, that's going to remain, something that was true, because Jesus had definitely undermined what the Pharisees and Sadducees were living. And then Jesus said, "You see all these things, do you not? Truly, I say to you that there will not be left hear one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And it says he went on out of the Mount of Olives. I think that the disciples knew that Jesus saw something, he understood something that they were not able to comprehend. So when they were alone, it says they came privately to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming and the close of age?" And Jesus answered, Just be careful that no one leads you astray. Then he goes down to verse 5 here. He says, there's going to be false prophets. He says, verse 6, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. 7, he says, nations are going to rise against nations, earthquakes. 9, he speaks about tribulation, about persecution for the gospel's name's sake. He says, many are going to fall away. So in verse 10 there, he's really saying there's going to be, in the end time, there's going to be masses that are going to walk away from God. Verse 11, he says, there's going to be false teachers. They're going to lead a lot astray. And then he says, because lawlessness will increase. So what he's saying here is it's going to happen. Just in my experience with Jesus, I love the way how he puts that. He says, the love of many will grow cold. That very statement, there's hope in that, because the love of many will grow cold. What's that saying? It's, that doesn't have to be you, and that doesn't have to be me. There's hope there. In Mark 13:20, he says, "And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days." And this morning, what I'd like to really look at it is, as we see lawlessness increase in our land, maybe in our midst, even struggling with it in our own hearts, in our civilization, how will we be able to be numbered among those that do not grow cold and do not get hardened by those circumstances of life? Because we are affected by our society. We are affected by our culture. We're affected by things around us. I thought just for a little bit of just looking back into history, not into the Bible, but just into history and see how something like this happened. I just wrote off something here a little bit about a time when there was a young man and how this actually happens. There was a young boy whose father died when he was 13. When his mother died, after her death, he spent 4 years living on the streets. He sold postcards of his artwork to make a little money. No one is quite sure of how he picked up his hatred for the Jews. Some say it was because of the questionable identity of his grandfather. Others say it is furious at a Jewish doctor that let his mother die. However, it is just as likely that he picked up a hatred for the Jews while living on the streets. A city in the streets of Vienna, a city known for the time of anti-Semitism. In World War I, this man joined the army and sustained 2 major injuries. The first occurred when he was wounded by a grenade splinter. The other when a gas attack caused him to go temporarily blind. And when he was in the hospital, when he was temporarily blind, Germany surrendered. And he was furious that he surrendered. He returned after the World War and determined to enter politics. This young man spearheaded an attempt to take over the German government. When it failed, he was caught, sentenced to 5 years in prison. It was while in prison that he wrote his book, Mein Kampf. On January 30, 1933, he was appointed chancellor. In March 1938, 5 years later, he was able to annex Austria into Germany without firing a single shot. And see, this was a political scene here that was happening here, and how a mass country was affected by what was happening around them, and how they became cold. Their emotions, their love, they became cold, and they did not even use what we would call human reasoning. And when he tried to attack Poland, the other European nations could no longer stand idly by. World War II began. Then he barely survived an assassination attempt by one of his military officers. He survived with only injuries on his arms, some hearing loss. Not everyone in the room was so lucky. On April 29th, 1945, he married his longtime mistress, and the following day, Hitler and his wife committed suicide together. That is what is known as a Holocaust. Persecution, where 6 million people were taken to concentration camps, where they were burned, executed. How could a country deteriorate to that in a matter of 12 years? If we really think about that, do we think Canada could be doing that in 12 years and the people would just all believe it and follow in? I don't think civilizations have necessarily changed. But did everybody believe it? Did everybody in Germany follow Hitler? Just listen to this quote in Forgiveness. Didn't he, this is a lady speaking, didn't he and I stand together before an all-seeing God, convicted of the same murder? For I had murdered with my heart and my tongue. Corrie ten Boom. She walked through that. It says, because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But Corrie's love didn't grow cold. It was because she was connected to the Father. And as I just look at our landscape of our lives, of our community, of who we are as individuals, to ask myself, is there a trend of lawlessness increasing in our world, in our country, in our cities, our churches, in our homes, possibly even in our own personal lives? Just had to think, I actually had a definition of lawlessness here that I had wanted to share. Lawlessness, a state of lawlessness and disorder, usually resulting from a failure of government. And we know that our Father in heaven wants to guide us, wants to direct us, and I think we can recognize if there's a failure of government from God to us, it is our part. Complete denial of all established authority and institutions. Lawlessness. Just thought of looking into the lawlessness of our country. How has it influenced upon us, how we listen to the media, and how we start processing things? Do we still look at things the same as we maybe did 12 years ago? Just search our hearts this morning. Just think about the how many of you have been keeping up with American politics? I don't know, but there seems to be a great division in American politics. You have the Democrats, Republicans, then you have a Tea Party, which they really don't see eye for eye on these things. And as we hear, maybe we're on Facebook and we see all these comments, or we listen to media, what happens within our hearts? Are we motivated to pray for Obama as we listen to this stuff? Or are we moved to blaspheme Obama? And as I look through this stuff about lawlessness in our country, our cities, our churches, our homes, our own personal lives, there was none that I wasn't guilty of. I've blasphemed Obama. I have run him down. And last night I was just sitting down on the couch and we were talking about this, how this has affected our lives. And I just turned around and I checked Facebook and I saw a comment by somebody and I just, without thinking, I just blasphemed another person. And you know, God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to walk through this life. He said, many are going to go cold. You don't have to. Lawlessness in our cities. We think of the shootings. What's your attitude toward it? Are we having intercessory prayer for violence like that? Or when we speak in the public, when we speak with our friends or coworkers, do we say they should have more security guards? Or yeah, I've made comments that that would only reflect that I had a heart that was cold. But God wants us. He wants us to come through these circumstances, this landscape. He says, many are going to go cold, but I don't have to. And you don't have to. Maybe the first two here didn't affect us that much, but maybe what about lawlessness in our churches? As we look over our landscape of churches, we see divisions, we see splinters of every kind. Do we still love all? Are we members truly of one another? Redeeming the time and helping each other redeem the time along the way? Or have we jumped on the bandwagon of accusing, of waiting for individuals to go wrong so that we can say that we knew this is what's going to happen? You know, Jesus said there's going to be a time coming. There's going to be a lot of chaos. He says love him and he's going to grow cold. But it doesn't have to be us. Now just look at our own experience here in the last year. Our love has been tested. Have we wanted to maybe make comments about individuals? That was not love. Are we waiting for individuals to go astray so we can prove the world that they were wrong? Or are we waiting with anticipation that God's going to bless them? You know, how's Jesus relating to us this moment? If we would be left in our own way, as we looked at what was shared this morning, the Bible study there of David, Jehoshaphat, and Gideon, they would have been left to their own way. God wouldn't have intervened. They wouldn't have made it. We wouldn't have either. As a father looks down with hope on our lives, let's do likewise. What about our own in our homes? Sometimes we go through extended seasons of friction, of difference of opinions and values. We just struggle with seeing things the same. How do we respond to each other? Or do we just stop responding? Relationships that are not prospering, are often painful. And if I hurt myself, I usually, if I hurt my finger, I'll pull it away. And that's how we often relate in relationships. If we get hurt, we become cold. We just remove ourselves from the situation. Maybe physically we hear, but our emotions are removed. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. What about our personal lives? Have we become indifferent toward the Word of God? Is it no longer clear to us what sin is? As we go through dry times, do we still seek Him? Jesus knew that we were going to go through difficult times. He knew we were going to make choices that will lead us away from Him. Do we keep focusing on God, or do we start blaming God for not being there when we needed Him the most? What about blaming the church for not being there when we needed them the most? And if we do that, we start the process of losing that relationship with Jesus. It just starts to deteriorate from there on. We hurt, so we close ourselves from each other. We're no longer able to be moved by the Spirit. Life sometimes hurts. So we begin to develop meaningful relationships with people. It's just brought back into our face of who we really are and who we were. We can become cold. We can stop. And us, no matter where a person has gone in life, God can forgive, heal, and cleanse, but they're still reaping many times. Many times a bitter one. And sometimes it's easier to zone out. It's actually easier to live in a place where there's no reality than to deal with our pain. Jesus said these things are going to happen. Many are going to grow cold. But the person that's not going to be affected by this is going to keep on. He's going to be saved. And we're not the only one in life that has failed. We look at it and we sometimes struggle with despair and just wonder, is God still there for us? Let's just turn to Psalms 38. This is David groping with a coldness that wants to overwhelm his soul. But he was more than a conqueror. I'm just going to read through here, and we can see a process that I can really identify with, and I imagine there's a lot of others that can identify with. And just in the end, we can see the way he concludes. Our testimony can be too. If we have concluded the same way, we will be in the same place that David was. It says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. for my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and fester because of my foolishness. I'm utterly bowed down, prostrate. All the day I go about mourning. For my sides are filled with burning, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and crushed. I groan because of the tumult of my heart. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from me. David, in verse 9, there took a little comfort. He understood God. God sees it. He says, my heart throbs, my strength fails me. And the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. He says, my friends and companions stand aloof from my plague. My dearest kin stand afar off. Those who seek my life lay their snares. Those who seek my hurt speak of ruin and meditate treachery all day long. He says, as I look around my landscape, I have friends, I don't know what they're thinking. They're just silent. There are others that speak and say, I have no chance. Verse 13 says, but I'm like a deaf man. I do not hear. I'm like a mute man who does not open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear and in whose mouths are no rebukes. But for you, O Lord, I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. Very clear when he said that he is deaf, that he still had his ears wide open to the Father. He was just deaf to his surroundings. For I said, only let them not rejoice over me who boast against me when my foot slips, for I am ready to fall, and my pain is ever before me. I confess my iniquity, and I am sorry for my sin. But my foes are vigorous, they're mighty, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Those who render me evil for good accuse me because I follow after good. Love verse 21 and 22. It says, here he finds something. Here he finds a stability for his life. He says, do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. His salvation. And that's the salvation that we can have today. And that is our solution as we look at Matthew 24. Because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold, but one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who looks to Jesus will be saved. Revelation 3, verse 14. Speaks also of a coldness. I thought we could maybe read. And the angel, and to the church, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creations. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing, not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove, discipline, so be zealous and repent. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come in to him, eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Even if we have a coldness, feel coldness in our own lives, Father is just simply saying, that still doesn't mean that our love has to grow cold. He still wants us to return to him. Verse 13 of Matthew 24, it says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." What does endurance look like to us? In Proverbs 24, it says, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again." I had to think, just as I was looking at this, I think seven in the Bible was a perfect number. So could we say that this is saying, for the righteous falls completely and rises again? You know, there's no failure. I think what he's saying here is we can fall seven times, which I think is a perfect number, which he's saying, I don't think he just meant we can fall seven times and rise again, but he's saying, no matter where we are, if we're going to endure to the end, but the one who endures to the end will be saved, is the one who rises again and goes to the Father. Luke 15 Verse 17 and 18 is the account of the prodigal son. And I think if we want to be those, if we endure to the end, we will be saved. We're going to have this spirit. Verse 18, and it says, verse 17, "But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger." Verse 18, it says, "I will arise and go to my father." That's the walk of endurance. As our landscape becomes evil, as we find how evil our very hearts are, many of us are going to be tempted to just simply grow cold. And the love of God will not flow through us. But then there's the other group. There will be a remnant that will say, "I will arise and go to the Father." This is truly an attitude of endurance. I will arise and go to the Father. So as we look at lawlessness in our country, in our cities, our churches, our homes, or even in our personal lives, as we're tempted to let our love grow cold, to withdraw, God in heaven is just simply saying, "I love you." He understands the pain. He understands the hurt. He just simply wants us to rise and go to the Father. I just want to challenge us and just leave that with us. As we go forward this week, go back into our world that we live, a world of living with ourself, our landscape of which we were born, and we're challenged to become cold Let the love grow cold in our hearts. Remember, Jesus said there's many that will happen to. But that means there's hope for you. There's hope for me. We don't have to be in the many. We can be one of the remnant that doesn't do that. We can arise and go to the Father. Let's just pray before we close here. Lord, I just come to you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for your heart of love. Lord, I thank you that you look down and, Lord, you see us exactly where you are, where we are, Lord, and Lord, you don't despise us. You just simply ask us to follow you. Lord, as I look at just lawlessness in my own heart, the way I've related, Lord, and just comments I made, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for those times, Lord. Lord, just keep our hearts warm. Lord, as we, as pain comes intense in our lives, Lord, just be there with me, Lord, with my brothers and sisters, Lord, here. Guide them. Just hold our hand, Lord. Lord, we just gather hope this morning from the fact that there is going to be some to the very end that will be faithful to you. And Lord, as Gideon, as David, as they called upon you in their own strength, Lord, were unable to do it, Lord. Lord, this morning we turn our eyes to you. We look to you, Lord, and we know in our hearts that you've always been there for us. We thank you for that. Just bless us, Lord, as we just seek to day by day continue in the walk of endurance, of just simply arising and returning to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.